With all the demands of raising and educating our kids, our marriages can unintentionally end up suffering from neglect. Emily Brown, a life coach for Catholic homeschoolers, is with us today to offer some practical ways to prioritize your marriage for a successful homeschool.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Before we get started, remember to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the bell to join our channel. Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host. And today, Emily Brown is here with some practical ways to prioritize your marriage for a successful homeschool. Emily Brown is a Catholic homeschooling mom of seven. She's a former youth minister and has a deep passion for building up the kingdom of God one family at a time. Emily is a life coach for Catholic homeschoolers who want to have more peace and confidence in their vocations as wife, mother, and homeschooler. She has a private coaching practice where she works with mamas one-on-one, as well as a group coaching program called Happy Holy Mama. You can find her on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as her podcast, Happy Holy Mama. You can also take her free masterclass, The Intro to Loving Your Homeschool Life, and it's on her website, fiatlifecoaching.com, just the way it sounds. Emily, thank you for coming back again. We always have such a great conversation.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lisa. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. Everybody, I just want to start off by focusing just on Emily. So Emily, would you step us into, you truly have a unique story and perspective on marriage, and we'd love to hear a little about your journey.
Oh, absolutely. So first, I want to say that I am not an expert on marriage. I don't have the perfect marriage. I don't think anybody does, and marriage is not easy in general. But my marriage journey actually started when I was 19. I got married at a very, very young age, age of 19, to my youth group sweetheart. His name was Joey. And we moved out to the Portland area for him to go to school to be a chef. And I was working full time. And about 8.5 months into our marriage, we were in a car accident on Valentine's Day and he passed away. And yeah, it's hard. It's a heavy topic. It's a kind of a hard way to start a podcast episode, but I do share it because the way that I view everything in life, especially my marriage, and I'll talk a little bit about Lucas here in just a minute, but it's entirely Holy Spirit led. Everything that's happened in my life, I can look back on and see the Holy Spirit's hand in all of it. And I don't necessarily believe, you know, that the Holy Spirit caused, you know, car accidents or anything like that. But I truly believe that he allows things to happen, that he's the one who can make so much goodness and beauty come from things that are just so painful. And so about that's really how I view that time in my life. And it really provided a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety going into my second marriage. I met Lucas about a year and a half after our car accidents.
Wow.
And the Holy Spirit really was super obvious that he was like, this is it. This is the guy. And he, which is really funny because Lucas was really not my type. And I told him that. I was like, no, he's just not my type. But I kept hearing him over and over again. This is it. This is whom I've chosen for you. And I was so confident that God's plans were better than my own, that he knew what was best for me and I could trust him. Which saying that now after a year and a half, you know, after losing my first husband is just a miracle in and of itself that was even possible.
100%. You must have been traumatized and recovering yourself from the accident.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Lucas was part of my healing journey as well. And it really took, you know, even years into our marriage to really break open some of those walls that were created. And all of us have some kind of a fear, or most of us have something in our childhood, right, that just kind of compounds as you get older and more things happen in life. And so I'm not unique in not having that. I had plenty of that myself. And so really Lucas was just a vessel, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. He still is to this day. Just a catalyst of love and acceptance and healing for me. And I know that I've been that for him as well in his own unique way. And so the way that I really view marriage is something that is Holy Spirit bound. It's bound by the Holy Spirit. We're these two humans that are bound by the Holy Spirit, and we become one flesh in the sacrament of marriage, and everything flows out of that. And it, you know, that has to come from who you are. You have to be connected to the Lord, having that relationship with the Lord. And that actually has to be first. You have to put that first, and then you prioritize your marriage and everything else flows from that. That's where the children come from, right? but, you know, when I look at, you know, how I kind of came to that view and all the painful things that happened leading up to meeting Lucas, I can now see, looking back, how all of that, again, was just the Holy Spirit allowing me to grow in some of those painful ways that allowed me to become who I am today. And so as painful as all of that was, I do believe that it was all, I don't know if necessary is the right word, but it was permitted. And therefore I can know that it was God's will. And that's been such a beautiful thing for me to pass on to my own children, is every single one of them exists, is here on this earth because I went through that, because I was allowed to go through that, because I said yes to the Holy Spirit in meeting my husband and saying yes to him. And so that's just something that I like to put in there, is the Holy Spirit really leads and guides our marriage when we allow him to. And then we can pour that into our children, which is really what we do as homeschoolers. So being able to live that, and I just say that that's kind of in right order, right? It's you and the Lord, then your husband, you and your husband, then you and the kids, and then everything else. I think about it like a three-tiered fountain, where you and the Lord, you're the pipe, and you have that relationship with him. And when we fill up the pipe with the Holy Spirit and the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, we can pour them out into that top tier, which is our marriage. And then we can fill filled up and life-giving and pour out into our kids. And then together as a family, we can pour out into everything else in our life, which is in that bottom bowl of the three-tiered fountain. And that's how we get everything done that we need to get done. But when we're living out of right order, then what happens is the pipe starts to feel really drained. It starts to feel really stuck. It feels really dry. The kids get kind of our last, like not our last, but like kind of our medium efforts, right? Like all the water is being poured down into the bottom tier. And then the poor husband, he's just at the very top and he's getting like the last dregs, right? Like he's really not getting our first best selves. And I could really see how that's true for my early marriage. When we got married and we went on a trip to Rome, we left the day after we got married. We got blessed by Pope Benedict XVI with the Sposino Valley blessing about 4 days later. And wow. 2 weeks later, we found out we were pregnant. Like it was just, or 3 weeks or something late, like we found out we were pregnant right away.
Wow.
And yeah. So we had our first, and then we had 6 and 8 years. So it was hard. Like our early marriage was super hard, and homeschooling was never on my radar, because I was like, I need a break. I need you to go do something else. And the Lord was really putting on my heart to bring them home and to homeschool them. And that's a whole nother story. But in a marriage context, Luke is my best friend. He is the one that I turn to for everything. He's my sounding board. We were really young parents in a college town, so we didn't really have any like other parent friends. Nobody was having kids yet. And so I was kind of on my own. My mother lived too far away to help me. And I knew I couldn't like keep it all pent up inside, all this, the stress and the frustration and the anxieties of raising small kids. And so I would just text him, kind of like angry text him during the day. I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. Right. There's a lot of angry texting. There's a lot of like angry cleaning. There's a lot of things happening and a lot of dialogue going on in my brain about him, about what should be happening, about what he should be doing. And really not living in that right order, really pouring all of my energy into the housekeeping, really pouring into the kids, and really not prioritizing my marriage. And the way that I was interacting with all of those out of control circumstances in my life was directly impacting my marriage, and which, of course, when we look at the three-tiered fountain, it's directly impacting kids. And then eventually our homeschooling. And so when we're putting our relationships before the tasks, right, then it's actually making sure that your marriage has its proper place and its proper priority in your heart and in your mind and even in your schedule. And because he really does deserve like your first goodwill, your first best thoughts during the day. And I would love to be able to share a little bit about how to do that, because that can feel very intimidating and stressful when we have a lot of things going on. It can be really hard to think about your marriage first.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate your open heart with this, because I think we all bring plenty of wounds into our marriages. And yours is a unique story, because whatever wounds you brought into your first marriage, the loss of your first husband, all of that was a terrible wound to bring into the second marriage. And, and as you said, so quickly afterwards. And we can, you know, just biologically, I think we moms tend to just really focus on our kids. It's kind of instinctive, right? But we can forget about the love story that's at the foundation of it all, right? And we also can lose touch with our prayer lives and things like that. We all know that, and we talk about that a lot. But I don't know that we talk enough about this. The benefits to prioritizing our husband. You alluded to some of the ways, giving them the first best thoughts of the day, and that's just such a gorgeous thought. I love that so much, because we can, instead of giving them the dregs, give them the cream right off the top, right? But could you just say a little bit about, as you started to prioritize your marriage, what shifted for you? What did it make harder, easier? What did you notice in yourself? What did it make possible? Do you mind just stepping us back into your own story a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first, I think it was when I was very, very invested in Facebook at the time, because that was like my world. That was how I connected with human beings, other adults outside of my children during the day. I was still pretty, Facebook was pretty new, pretty young at the time. And, you know, so that was, I was seeing a lot of, you know, they weren't really memes at the time, but, you know, those like static images with words. And, you know, there were a lot of things about, you know, self-care and prioritizing yourself and all those. And I deeply believe in a lot of that. But then I started seeing a little bit more about how to interact with your husband. And I really, you know, thinking about things like, I read a blog post once where it was a woman who had lost her husband. And she said, I see his socks laying on the floor. And she goes, I just wish for one more opportunity to nag him about that, you know, or I wish I'd not, or even just like, I would pick them up for him if I could just know, that that was an act of love for him. And I just really, it just really hit home for me, because I have that history of going through my husband's belongings, of sorting through all of those things, of picking those things up, you know, after he'd passed away. And so it really shifted my mindset about how I interacted with my husband a little bit deeper than I had really connected myself at that time. And so really, you know, focusing on what do I have, right? Instead of what don't I have? Okay. We focus so much on what we feel like we lack, or what we feel like they lack, what we wish they would do for us. And we're focused on how we think they should be making us feel, instead of being in charge of that ourselves and then pouring out from that abundance. And so I think when I could shift from that kind of scarcity mindset of I don't have enough and you need to fill me up, into, oh, actually the Lord is what needs to fill me up, and then from there I can pour out an abundance to you, then I started thinking about him differently during the day. And when we would have a fight the night before and I would wake up and I would be grumpy the next morning and still holding on to a grudge, it really caused me to pause and to really think about, you know, who do I want to be today? How do I want to interact with him? How do I want to speak about him in front of my kids? Because I could see that when I held onto the grudge, when I was really focused on what I didn't have or what I thought I lacked because of him, then it was really impacting how patient I was with my kids. It was impacting how kindly I spoke to them or not. And it really focused, like it really shifted what, how kind I was to all of us in our schedule for the day. And so if it was like a homeschooling day, for example, and we had had, you know, a disagreement that morning, I could either go into that day and kind of punish all of us by putting too much on the schedule and too high of expectations and, you know, be kind of the military mom, or I could soften and I could think about him in a different way. I could intentionally choose forgiveness and love and generosity and not hold whatever I was experiencing with him against my kids. Mm. And being able to kind of go through some of those steps was really what allowed me to pour into him, even if he wasn't with me. And then I could pour into my kids. And then we could get the most important things done during our day.
So good. So good. I'm just seeing this, what happens in a place of wisdom where the Holy Spirit showed you some things. The vessel or the channel, I guess, in part was Facebook at the time. It was new. It was shiny. There was a lot happening there. And you found some wisdom there from other people who had been on the marriage journey, right? And they shared that with you. And so it did. It gave grace the opportunity to work in your human nature, right? To start to shift your mindset. So we're going to take a little sponsor break and we'll be right back. But I'd like to hear, what are your practical tips, your favorite things to tell other moms that can really help with this and start to bring the marriage into the forefront so that the whole family starts to thrive at a new level. Looking forward to doing that with you. All right, everybody, hang on there. We are going to be right back after we hear from Homeschool Connections. We are with Emily Brown, and we're talking about how to prioritize your marriage for a successful homeschool. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Walter Crawford.
And I'm Maureen Whitman.
We are the co-founders of homeschoolconnections.com and proud sponsors of the Homeschooling Saints podcast,
which is here to help you homeschool more joyfully, more easily, and more effectively.
We want to thank you for listening.
And we invite you to check out our courses at homeschoolconnections.com.
And now, back to our program.
All right, we're back with Emily Brown, and we're talking about prioritizing your marriage for a successful homeschool. So we've heard some of your beautiful story, and a story that I think in many ways we can all relate to. But where do we start now in our own home?
Oh, it's such a good question. So as a life coach, right, I want to help you have awareness so that you can be intentional. And that's really the first thing we have to do is become aware of what you're thinking about your husband. And again, this directly impacts your kids and your homeschooling, right? Because of that three-tiered fountain. And so I want you to be thinking about, like, how do you talk about your husband? And sometimes that's how you talk to yourself about him. Like, sometimes we kind of walk around the house and go, rank, 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 rank. Right? Sometimes it's how we talk about him to our kids. Sometimes that's how we talk about him to other people. Right. And that in a lot of the times our kids are within earshot of the of when we're speaking to our friends about our husband. And it seems to be a little bit like we do this with our kids, too. And I think it's all just something that we all need to stop immediately. But we kind of like try to one up each other about how hard we have it. And really, it's other people are listening, our little people are listening. And it directly impacts how other people are seeing your husband and your children when and we influence them. So how do you want to influence other people for your husband and for your kids? I think that's a worthwhile thing to ask yourself. And then how do you speak directly to him? I think that's a really important thing to consider, especially in front of your kids. Okay, so really think about how you are becoming aware of how you are thinking about him and then how are you speaking to him or about him. I think it's so important to just kind of be aware of just the words that are coming into your brain and then coming out of your mouth. And I think that that's really important. One of the things to do to just start that awareness is to pause. I think that's the very first step is you have to pause before you respond to him, before you respond to your kids, before you jump in for the homeschooling day, before you start angry cleaning, or maybe while you're in the middle of angry cleaning, just pause. Right? Pause before shooting off a text to just say your piece and prove him wrong. Okay. We have to pause. We have to breathe because you're probably holding your breath, probably holding on to that. And that actually increases your stress hormones. Your body and your brain are already like worked up in a kind of a fight or flight mode. And when you hold your breath, it's like you're increasing that cortisol level, you're like kind of bracing, right, for an attack. And if you can breathe, it actually can calm down your nervous system and really allow more of that oxygen to flow to your brain. So it's really, really important. And that's really the first step is pause and breathe. And from there, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that's so good because we don't realize because of the wounds that we bring into our marriages and stuff, how quickly we get triggered and it throws us backward into the past and we don't even know we're in the past. Yeah. But it's like a domino effect. All the past stuff that hurt us, that triggers us in that moment, then that person gets the brunt of all of it. The whole history can like mega charge. We can go right into our amygdalas, as you were saying, just be in that fight or flight. So the pause and breathe.
Yes.
Just having that moment of checking in.
Yes. And from that place, you can ask the Lord, like, what do you want me to know right now? Like, how do you want me to approach this person? How do you want me to respond to him? How do you want me to respond to my kids? What am I carrying into this interaction, right? Maybe it's my past. Maybe it's the past from this morning before he left to work, right? And it's how we're thinking about him, right? And how, who do we want to be? That's the next step, is really deciding with the Holy Spirit, who do I want to be right now? Do I want to be somebody who just keeps repeating the past? Do I want to be somebody who keeps repeating what I've always done and getting stuck there? Or do I want to be the person who can show up and lead with grace? And what you lead with grows. And I love acronyms. So I, like the Holy Spirit just said to me, hey, you know what grace stands for? Is gratitude, respect, acceptance, charity, and encouragement. And sometimes it's empathy if encouragement is maybe not like really sitting really super well with you. Sometimes it's okay, but grace, respect, acceptance, charity, and maybe empathy. And if you can lead with grace, then that's what's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you generate that goodwill toward him in the moment, even if something is really frustrating or really painful. Sometimes we're really, really painful parts in our marriage, right? And we don't want to lead with grace. We want him to lead with grace. We want him to do it. We'll do it if he does it first, right? But we have to be the grown-up. Who do we want to be, right? We want to be the adult. And we invite him into that with us when we can lead with that ourselves and generate that goodwill for him during the day. As often as possible, really. So pausing during the day, really generating that goodwill for him, really thinking highly of him during the day. Consider how he is the great dad and provider for your family, how he is the husband that you really want him to be, right? I think so often, like I was saying earlier, we focus on what we don't have, what we think we're lacking or what we think they're lacking. And really, what are you focused on? And so when you pause and you breathe and you reflect with the Holy Spirit, you can ask him, how is this man that you handpicked for me, Lord? Like, how is he just the exact guy that I need right now? How is he the exact husband that I need? And then what happens is when you can fill up with that goodwill for him and that grace and pour that out to him, you could just do that in your brain. He doesn't have to be in front of you. But that directly impacts how you're showing up with your kids, which is directly going to impact the success we have on any given homeschool day.
I love that. And what we're looking at too, sometimes when we see lack, is we're looking through eyes of our own pain and our past too. But I also think of the spiritual side of that. Who wants more for us to focus on lack, right? And what you said, what you focus on grows, or what you practice grows. It can just become enormous in our field of vision. It can crowd everything else out. So we can't see the truth of the person in front of us. And I love what you said about pausing and saying, Lord, you know, help me in this moment. What are you asking of me? But also, I sometimes will ask the Holy Spirit, because he's the advocate, I'll say, please advocate for my husband.
Yes. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'll ask my guardian angel to go talk to his guardian angel.
Yes, I love that.
Could you like smooth the way right now? Because there's like a really big chasm for us and we need to make that a little smaller. So could you just help us out?
Yeah. I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And so some of the other things I like to do is I really encourage my clients to create a grateful journal if they are really feeling like their marriage is a really painful place. This works super well with your kids too, or your homeschooling, but you're really training your brain to focus on the good things. And honestly, the things that we're grateful for are just God's fingerprints, and you can find them everywhere throughout your day, even between the peanut buttery ones. And we can totally find 3 to 5 things that we're grateful for, even on some of the hardest, most painful, or quote unquote worst days. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my things of gratitude have been like, it's been quiet for 3.5 minutes. Or I'm so grateful for the programmable button on my coffee maker, that it was ready to go when I woke up. Right? And sometimes my husband and I actually kept grateful journals for about 2.5 years. Someone had, you know, recommended that to us at a marriage retreat. And so we decided to do it. And we have these beautiful, like probably 5 or 6 journals where we can look back and we can see all these incredible moments of our lives where sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, so-and-so is finally sleeping in their own bed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, oh my gosh, we found out we were pregnant. Sometimes it's, oh, this kid said this really funny thing. And we have just a record of God's fingerprints all over our lives for those 2.5 years. So I highly recommend doing this either by yourself or with your spouse, and just making that deal with yourself. I'm going to choose to be a person who is grateful and leads with grace and looks for the things that are from the Lord and for the Lord, and are, it just takes that chasm that we feel in our marriage sometimes, and it just makes it smaller. It makes the bridge a little easier to cross.
Curiosity question here. Yeah. Did you and your husband add entries into the same journal together and discuss it, or did you have separate journals?
No, we had the same journal. So we both had the same one.
Makes
and
me so happy.
Yeah, so I could see what he was writing and vice versa. Mm. And we also made the deal with ourselves that unless we were like deathly ill or apart, right? If like we were just not together, that we would write in it every single day. So there were many times where we lay down, turn out the lights, the kids were finally in bed. Again, we had 6 kids in 8 years, and then we had our 7th who was a straggler a couple of years later. And we were like, oh my gosh, we forgot to write in our grateful journal. And we would get up and turn the light back on, and we would write in our grateful journal. And we're so tired. So it's like, what was so cool about it was that it really trains your brain to look for the things of gratitude during the day, because you know you have to write something down later.
Love it. Love it. Oh,
I have to do the homework later. I might as well start looking for things now. Mm. And it was really very cool. So yes, we just have the it was like 2.5 years of journals that we wrote in together. And so it's his handwriting and then my handwriting, or vice versa, which is just, it's a very cool thing to be able to go back and look at.
What a treasure. What a treasure. All right. So what else have you got for us?
Yeah. I also really love recommending listening to music that really makes you think positively about your husband. So sometimes it's maybe your wedding song if you're feeling really lovey-dovey. I know intimacy can be kind of a hard thing for a lot of women, especially when we're just covered in babies and super touched out. But really intentionally, like, thinking about him and getting kind of ready for him on the days when you feel like you guys have agreed are open days. You know, for intimacy, I just, building that emotional intimacy is not something that you have to wait for him for. Mm-hmm. Like, you can start generating that throughout the day and really preparing your heart for him. But you could also do that on days when you are not going to be physically intimate. You can be emotionally intimate with him by how you're thinking about him in this beautiful, you know, way that's going to help draw your heart to him. Intentionally, again, asking the Holy Spirit, how is he already the man, the father, the partner, the provider that I've always, you know, dreaming that he will be someday, and really focusing on who he is, and the truth of who he is according to God. He's a son of God. He is my husband. And really just really shifting those thoughts, making the deal with yourself. All right, when he comes home, I will stop what I'm doing and I will go and greet him, right? If I can, right? If you're stuck on the couch nursing a baby, right? Maybe it's you offer him a smile. But I just noticed, for me at least, something that was disconnecting us was he was feeling like I wasn't prioritizing him when he got home. And I was feeling like I need a break, I need to run away. So I definitely wasn't prioritizing him, I was prioritizing me. And what I noticed was, as soon as I allowed myself the permission to give him that primary attention as soon as he got home with love and charity and generosity, right? Then he was so much more willing to come and play with the kids and take them off my hands and let me go have that break that I needed. And all it took was for me to take 60 seconds. Like, it really wasn't a lot. You know, some days it was more, and the more I got practice at it, the better I got at it, the longer I wanted to spend with him. But at first it was just a, I'm going to give him a smile. I'm going to be really grateful that he's home, not just because of what he can do for me, but because of who he is.
Yeah, it's really neat. And in our society that denigrates men and denigrates masculinity horribly, it's awful. And men can be pretty depressed about that. Knowing that when they walk in the door that somebody's going to greet them with love, even if it's brief and they have babies hanging off their apron and, you know, the pot's boiling on the stove, that is a big encouragement. That's a big encouragement to go out and do it all again and fight the dragons the next day too. And I feel like there's a spiritual power in that because, of course, we there are all sorts of separate discussions we could have about the spiritual headship of the husband in the home. But when we honor him from the moment he walks in, like you said before, and this is critically important, right? The kids are picking up on everything. They then are in the habit of honoring daddy when he walks in the door too. They're not going to be blind to that. And that's going to make them more secure, more happy. It's going to teach them a lot. It's going to teach the boys that they deserve honor and the girls to see that their mother, as great and powerful and wise as she is, really pauses to appreciate her husband and how beautiful that is. I can't help but think that the Lord would smile on that and reward it.
I think so. And I think it's really a grace from God to be able to do that. And I think that we have to be spending time with the Lord throughout the day in order to be filled up with that grace to be able to do that after a long day of homeschooling, homemaking, rearing children, disciplining, all the things that we really do need to do.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to smile at him authentically and genuinely if you've been yelling at him in your brain all day. And so that starting smiling at him when he gets home and like going to him with that generosity and that charity really has to start earlier in your day. And there's nothing he needs to do to earn that. He is worthy of that just by being a beloved son of God. And if we can tap into at least that bit of truth, then we have one step on the bridge to crossing that chasm we might be feeling between us, and we can get over it faster and not getting necessarily, I'm not saying getting over like whatever happens faster, but like getting get over the chasm, whatever is happening, whatever happened, whatever we need to whatever gap we need to bridge. We can do that with the grace of the Holy Spirit, but it really does have to start earlier in your day.
Yeah. Yeah. So much so. Okay. So what other tips and you can bring in resources from your world too. I know you've done some podcasts on this. What else have you got for us?
You know, I do have several podcasts, it's called the Happy Holy Mama podcast. And there are several podcasts where I kind of review a lot of what I talked about today. I actually did an interview with my husband early on. And that's, I think in the first year, I did an interview with him, and that was super fun to just kind of pick his brain about, you know, what it's like to live with a life coach as a wife, and you know what it's like to live with someone who has changed deeply, like really and truly deeply changed who I was being, and you know, went from being like a fake it till you make it kind of a mom and a wife to being a really deeply rooted, genuinely happy, and I believe much holier, not perfect, not saintly just yet. I'm working on it. We all are. Right. But that version of me that I desperately wanted to be. And that, so that was a really fun conversation. And then the Happy Holy Mama membership, that's where I work with my clients to help them, you know, any Catholic homeschooling mom who is like really feeling like, you know, the pipe and the relationship you have with yourself, how you speak to yourself, how you speak to the Lord, that relationship with him, if that's not feeling really solid, right? We do work in there on that. If your relationship with your husband is not feeling really solid and it's feeling rocky and hard and you can see how it's impacting the kids, we do work on that as well. It's not just a homeschooling program. It is a life coaching program for Catholic homeschool moms. So we coach and talk and workshop on everything under the sun because it all impacts our homeschooling, and our homeschooling directly impacts everything else that we do in our life. So that's really the best way for me to serve anybody who's really feeling like the tap of the Holy Spirit on the shoulder to go and do this work with Him. I pray that my coaching and the members of our community and the program itself is a vessel for you and the Holy Spirit to go and do this work a little bit deeper and improve the whole three-tiered fountain. And it takes time. It takes time. It takes patience. And if you're curious, I have a masterclass that you can go watch for free. It's called The Intro to Loving Your Homeschool Life. And it'll give you a little bit more insight, a little bit more about the thoughts and the feelings going into some of these things, and just how it impacts your entire life and how we can improve each of those areas of the three-tiered fountain by focusing on that pipe.
Nice. Love it. And so if we just go to fiatlifecoaching.com, is there a contact tab if somebody wants to have a conversation with you and discuss the possibility of working with you, either one-on-one or in your community, your groups? Is that basically the pathway to getting a connection with you?
Yeah, you can go ahead and email me at emily@fiatlifecoaching.com. And then I'll also give Lisa a link for a consult call if you're interested in working with me. I primarily work privately with the members of the Happy Holy Mama membership. It doesn't come inherently with private coaching. It's a group coaching program with recorded content as well. But so if you do want to work with me privately, I do that. Just primarily through the membership, but that would be a great conversation for us to have so I can kind of help you navigate what's going to serve you the best and help you, answer any questions you might have about the work that we do.
And I love that there's a community aspect too, because we all need that. We need more connection, not less. The world is always taking that away from us, it seems, because we're just so overwhelmed.
And really having a group of like-minded women who are living this Catholic lifestyle, raising Catholic kids who are being called to homeschool, because not everyone is called to homeschool their kids. And so if you are, and you're feeling kind of lonely and isolated, and you need some community, you need some great Catholic homeschooling mom friends, these are the best women on the planet. They're incredible. And they're so encouraging. And when you have issues like a marriage, it's such a beautiful place to come and be served by the community. They're going to pray for you. They're going to lift you up. You can come to me, get coaching on it, and you are going to walk away feeling so much more calm, much more supported and encouraged, and really rooted back into your vocation, first and foremost.
All right. Emily Brown, thank you as always. You always bring your heart. You always bring some great ideas and some strategies. I always feel like that are absolutely doable. So encouraging. We've been talking with you about prioritizing your marriage for a successful homeschool. And I feel like we've all got a few very useful insights. For more of Emily, again, go to fiatlifecoaching.com. Lots there. And everybody, thank you for being with us today. Any just final thought you want to leave with us, Emily, as we wrap up?
I really love the image of being that future version of yourself, of really filling up with her and imagining what she feels like on a daily basis. Mm. And how does she interact with her husband, which is your husband, right? The future version of your husband. And what do they do? And how do they interact? And what do they talk about? And what do they pray about together? And I just really love spending time dreaming about that. And then knowing that I can have that version of my marriage now. And I just start practicing some of that in this moment. And so that's what I would encourage anyone listening to do, is really dream about your marriage. If it's been a while since you've had any dreams, especially about your marriage, go spend time with the Lord and ask Him, like, what do you have in store for us? Give me a glimmer. Give me just a glimpse and help me see that. And then you can just say, okay, what part of that is something I can do right now? What's just one thing that I could implement today that is going to help me get one step closer to that version of my marriage that I want to have someday?
Love
it. Entirely doable.
Just love it, Emily. Thank you so much. And everybody, we're so glad that you're with us today. Please pray for us. We're praying for you as well. And check out Emily's site, fiatlifecoaching.com, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.